What if I told you that the $15 budget antivirus you just installed is actually running on the exact same underlying code as the $100 premium suite sold by the very same company?
Oh, man.
Like, you are getting the identical high-performance threat detection engine, but you're just paying significantly less because it doesn't come with, a digital cup holder.
It fundamentally changes how you look at the whole cybersecurity market, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we've basically been conditioned to assume that dropping down to a budget tier means accepting a weaker shield.
Right.
Like maybe you're letting a few viruses slip through the cracks just to save some bucks. But the architecture of modern software development tells a completely different story.
Welcome to this deep dive. Our goal for you today is to basically shortcut the noise of the cybersecurity industry. We want to cut through the marketing smoke and mirrors and make you well informed without that heavy feeling of information overload.
Yeah, that overload is real.
It is, because today we are going to protect your computer. And I mean, just as importantly, we are going to protect your wallet.
And finding that balance really requires looking past the shiny sticker price on a landing page and digging into the actual mechanics of how these companies operate.
Exactly. So to help us navigate this, we are pulling from a highly detailed 2026 buying guide from GuardPick. It's written by Stephen Doan. And Stephen isn't a marketing executive or some sterile lab tech just reading off press releases.
Right.
He is an actual web developer. He has managed over 20 WordPress sites, dealt with live malware infections firsthand, and run self-managed servers.
And honestly, his background is what makes this source so incredibly valuable. When a web developer evaluates security software, they aren't just looking at whether it catches a test file in a vacuum, you know?
Yeah, they're looking at the real-world stuff.
Exactly. They're looking at resource allocation, system conflicts, and what it actually feels like when the software embeds itself into your daily workflow.
The topic of his guide is the best cheap antivirus 2026, under $30 with clear trade-offs. So, okay, let's unpack this. Everyone wants cheap protection, but Steven points out right out of the gate that the antivirus industry is packed with traps for the budget buyer.
Oh, absolutely.
And the biggest trap doesn't even involve malware.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, buying budget antivirus isn't just about evaluating, behavioral heuristics or firewall strength. It really requires understanding the business model behind the software.
The actual economics of it.
Right. The industry is fundamentally built on customer acquisition, and that means the introductory price you see is almost never the real price.
Yeah. The guide explicitly states that the single most dangerous pitfall is that steep first-year discount. We are talking about situations where the actual cost of the software, I mean, the renewal price, is 3 to 4 times higher than the introductory price.
It's wild.
The introductory rate isn't even a discount. It's just the company's customer acquisition cost being passed back to you in year two. It sounds exactly like those introductory cable or internet promotions where they hook you with a dirt cheap monthly rate, and then month 13 hits, and suddenly you need a second mortgage.
It is the exact same playbook. That is the core economic engine of consumer antivirus. They are banking heavily on auto-renewal inertia.
Right.
The companies know perfectly well that life gets busy. You install the software, it runs quietly in the background, and 12 months later, you've completely forgotten what you initially paid.
It's basically a subscription ghost. It just haunts your credit card statement a year later. And for a budget buyer, an unexpected charge that suddenly jumps from, say, $15 to $60 that can cause real, tangible financial pain. Like, it can literally overdraw an account.
This raises an important question, though, because some people might think,
Well, wait, let me ask that. If someone is super disciplined, right, can't they just buy the cheap first year and cancel before it renews?
I mean, theoretically, yes. But the industry deliberately makes the initial sign-up incredibly frictionless while relying on your future inattention to generate profit. Theoretical discipline, telling yourself you'll just cancel before year two, it rarely holds up against the reality of daily life.
Yeah, you just forget.
Exactly. Which is why Stephen's guide insists you have to adopt a completely new metric when shopping to combat this. You have to stop looking at the first-year sticker price entirely.
Just ignore it completely.
Pretty much. You have to start calculating what he calls the two-year cost. You take year one, add the year two renewal, and use that total number to make your actual buying decision.
That makes so much sense. It strips the marketing magic away immediately.
It really does. By forcing yourself to look at the two-year horizon, you are evaluating the product on its actual sustained cost rather than a temporary illusion.
Okay, so let's apply that. Say we calculate our 2-year cost and we actually find a truly cheap option. The immediate fear is whether we are buying a defective product. Like, if I am paying significantly less, I must be sacrificing my actual safety, right?
And that assumption is exactly what premium antivirus vendors want you to believe. They thrive on the anxiety that paying less equates to gambling with your data.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The GuardPick guide reveals that core malware detection at the budget tier is virtually identical to the premium tier.
Yeah, that usually surprises people.
Independent lab scores from places like AV Test show that entry-level products score nearly identically to the massive, expensive premium suites.
Well, from a software engineering perspective, maintaining two separate threat detection engines is cost prohibitive. It's just highly inefficient.
Right, they wouldn't build two.
Exactly. A cybersecurity company isn't going to fork their code base to create a weaker zero-day threat database for their budget users. They utilize a single, unified back-end architecture.
So it's like buying a car. You are getting the exact same high-performance twin-turbo V8 engine as the luxury model. The budget car just has manual roll-up windows, no heated seats, and you have to use your phone instead of a built-in GPS. But the engine driving the car is exactly the same.
That is a perfect analogy, and that engine is incredibly sophisticated. When independent labs like AV Test evaluate these tools, they aren't just scanning old known viruses. They are detonating live zero-day malware inside isolated sandboxes.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. They monitor whether the antivirus can catch malicious activity based purely on behavioral heuristics, basically how the program acts, rather than just matching it to a known signature.
So when a budget software hits a perfect score in those labs, it means its behavioral detection is flawless under massive stress. If the engine, the core detection, is exactly the same, why are people paying so much for premium suites?
Because the core detection is solved. What you are actually sacrificing when you drop down to the budget tier are the bundled extras.
Ah, the add-ons.
Right. You are giving up the built-in VPNs, or you're getting severely capped ones, like maybe 200 megabytes a day. You are giving up the bundled password managers, identity monitoring, and parental controls.
It feels like they're just selling us an ecosystem, you know,
yeah,
all these lifestyle features and just throwing the antivirus in as a Trojan horse to get us to buy into their walled garden.
Yeah, that is a very accurate way to frame it. They are basically selling convenience.
Hmm.
And crucially, you also usually give up multi-platform coverage at the budget tier.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, cheap options are almost entirely strictly for Windows. If you want to protect a Mac, an Android phone, and an iPad under one license, that is the primary lever they use to push you into the premium tier.
Another thing that used to push people away from budget software was the performance hit. I mean, I remember the dark ages of early 2010s antivirus.
Oh, don't remind me.
Right. Where running a background scan meant your local processor was entirely locked up and you couldn't even open a web browser.
Yeah, older software relied heavily on the local CPU to cross-reference every single file against a massive, constantly updating local database of known threats. But modern budget options perform incredibly well in independent performance tests, like AV comparatives.
Because of cloud offloading, right. They aren't doing the heavy lifting locally anymore.
Exactly the opposite. The local client is now incredibly lightweight. It calculates a hash, basically a unique digital fingerprint of a file, and pings the cloud server via a tiny API call.
Oh, wow.
The company's massive servers do all the computational heavy lifting and instantly reply whether the file is safe or malicious.
So armed with our two-year cost metric, knowing we only need the core engine, and understanding that modern tools won't brick our computer's performance, well, who is actually selling the best option in 2026? GuardPick recommends two heavy hitters. First up is Bitdefender Antivirus Plus.
Bitdefender has consistently maintained a reputation for top-tier engineering.
Yeah, the guide calls this the best detection at the lowest price. It costs just $12.99 for the first year. And as we discussed, it uses the exact same engine as their premium line, getting a perfect 6 out of 6 from AV Test.
That's impressive.
It really is. It includes real-time protection, ransomware defense, phishing protection, and web filtering for up to 3 Windows devices.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a catch we warned you about. The renewal jumps to $49.99.
See, that is a 285% increase for year two. It is the textbook definition of the auto renewal trap.
It is massive. But let's do the two-year math. Year one is roughly $13. Year two is $50. So the two-year cost for Bitdefender is about $63. Now let's contrast that with the second recommendation, ESET Nod 32.
Okay.
The guide highlights this one for its honest pricing. It covers Windows, Mac, and Linux and runs incredibly light. But the pricing structure is entirely different. It costs $29.99 for the first year, and it only jumps to $39.99 for the renewal.
Which is a much more reasonable 33% increase.
But wait, let me push back on the math here. Year one is $30, year two is $40. The total two-year cost for ESET is about $70. Wait, so even with Bitdefender's staggering 285% price hike, its total two-year cost is still lower than ESET's.
Yeah, it is.
It's $63 for Bitdefender versus $70 for ESET. Why would anyone choose ESET then if it costs more overall?
What's fascinating here is how this highlights consumer psychology and the cognitive load of subscription management. Mathematically, over a strict 24-month period, Bitdefender wins. But ESET is selling stability. They are intentionally removing the billing shock from the equation.
Right. They aren't trying to trick you at month 13.
Exactly. ESET is framing a choice for you. Do you want the absolute lowest mathematical cost, which requires you to meticulously manage your calendar, set rigid cancellation reminders, and constantly play the introductory rate game?
Which most people fail at.
Right. Or do you want to pay just a few dollars more over 2 years for total peace of mind and transparency?
Oh, I see. It's the difference between flying a strict budget airline where they charge you extra for your carry-on, your water, and printing your boarding pass versus paying a slightly higher flat fare where everything is just understood.
That's a great way to put it. Plus, ESET's baseline covers Mac and Linux, whereas Bitdefender restricts you to Windows at that price point. It really comes down to how much mental energy you want to spend managing an antivirus subscription.
So Bitdefender and ESET represent the safe, tested waters, but Steven's guide also maps out the danger zone. We have to explore the dark side of the budget market to ensure you don't fall into the traps that plague uninformed buyers.
Oh, the budget software market is particularly vulnerable to predatory practices. The users are often highly price sensitive and perhaps, you know, less technically inclined.
The first one the guide calls out by name is Total Avin. Initially, their pricing looks phenomenal, but Steven notes they are plagued by well-documented complaints about unexpected auto renewals and, crucially, a deliberately difficult cancellation process.
Ugh, this is a classic dark pattern. The friction, the business model.
Right.
They make signing up a one-click process, but when you attempt to leave, you are routed through confusing menus, forced to call customer retention hotlines, or met with random error pages.
Yeah.
For a user on a strict budget being trapped in a subscription you can't easily turn off while the price jumps significantly in year two, that is a serious hazard.
Then there is the free antivirus that mysteriously requires a credit card to activate. The guide is crystal clear on this. Legitimate free software never asks for your credit card, period.
Never.
It's like those sketchy free trial gym memberships that require you to show up in person on a Tuesday during a full moon just to cancel. If a piece of software claims to be free but demands payment info, it is a trial specifically engineered to auto-convert.
It is entirely a mechanism of capture. Legitimate free tools, whether from Microsoft, Malwarebytes, or even Bitdefender's own limited free tier, they do not need your payment infrastructure because they aren't trying to ambush you.
The last major warning from the guide involves unknown brands offering extreme discounts. We're talking about products that flood paid search results. You search cheap antivirus and they are the top three sponsored links, but they have absolutely zero testing history with labs like AV Test or AV Comparatives. How are these unknown brands even surviving if they have zero lab testing?
Well, participating in independent lab testing is rigorous and it's expensive. A company has to be highly confident in their proprietary algorithms to subject them to AV Test's zero-day sandboxes.
So if they aren't testing, what are they actually selling?
In a world of severe information overload, bad actors prey entirely on SEO and uninformed clicks. They buy the top search result, offer a $5 a year sticker price, and users just click buy. If a software company refuses to submit their engine to standard, independent scrutiny, you have absolutely no way to verify if their protection is real, or if they're just running a placebo interface that flashes a green check mark to make you feel secure.
A placebo antivirus? That is genuinely terrifying. So we've navigated the pricing mechanics, we've weighed the heavy hitters, and we've mapped out the scams. But this brings us to the final, and without a doubt, the most surprising revelation in Steven Doan's entire 2026 buying guide.
Yeah, it is a significant pivot for a piece of content entirely dedicated to evaluating paid software.
So what does this all mean? You're telling me that a guide dedicated to buying cheap antivirus actually concludes that the built-in free Windows tool is perfectly fine for careful users.
It forces a total reevaluation of personal risk, honestly.
The guide states that for exactly $0, using Microsoft's built-in Windows Defender paired with the free version of Malwarebytes for occasional manual scans covers the vast majority of realistic threats for a careful Windows user.
Yeah, and by careful, Steven means someone who isn't actively downloading pirated software from unofficial forums or
Yeah.
clicking on wildly suspicious email links.
Right. But this brings up a huge question. Why would Microsoft invest so heavily in making Windows Defender a top-tier product and then just give it away for free? Like, what's their angle?
Well, Microsoft isn't running a charity.
Yeah.
Defender is a defensive moat for their entire operating system. Years ago, Windows had a terrible reputation for being a virus magnet, which drove consumers toward Apple's ecosystem.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right. By building enterprise-grade security directly into the OS at no additional cost, Microsoft secures the broader ecosystem, keeps Windows viable, and maintains their enterprise dominance. The consumer just benefits massively from this corporate strategy.
That is wild.
Because knowledge is most valuable when it's applied practically. Steven understands the reality of digital risk in 2026. If you practice basic digital hygiene, Defender is highly capable. The real value of this guide isn't just pointing you toward an affordable Bitdefender license, it is giving you the permission not to buy something you don't actually need.
That is incredibly refreshing. It shifts the entire focus from what should I buy to where is my actual vulnerability?
Exactly. And the guide takes it a step further. If a $50 a year renewal fee is going to cause financial stress, you are much better off sticking with Defender and shifting whatever small budget you do have to secure your actual weak points.
Like investing in a dedicated password manager.
Absolutely. For the vast majority of users today, a compromised, reused password from a corporate data breach is a vastly higher realistic threat than a complex zero-day malware payload bypassing Windows
Oh,
Defender.
for sure.
By reallocating your funds to a premium password manager, you are building a much stronger, practical defense against how real-world account takeovers actually happen.
It's about spending money where the armor is actually thin, rather than just piling more armor on top of a shield you already have. Okay, let's bring this all together for you. If you take nothing else away from this deep dive, remember these core actionable steps. First, strip away the marketing by always calculating the two-year cost. Second, understand the trade-offs budget tools give you the exact same premium engine, but they lack the multi-platform support and bundled lifestyle features.
Third, actively avoid the dark patterns. Stay far away from Total Eve's cancellation maze, never surrender your credit card for a free trial, and completely ignore unknown brands that hide from independent lab testing.
Finally, take a hard, honest look at your own browsing habits. Seriously, consider if the free built-in Windows Defender is already meeting your needs. Letting it do its job might just free up your budget for a robust password manager, which is likely where you need the most help anyway. Navigating this industry isn't easy, but armed with the right metrics and an understanding of the business models, you are firmly in control.
You know, I'd like to leave you with one final thought to mull over. Building on everything we've uncovered today regarding identical engines and the power of cloud computing. If independent labs are consistently showing us that core malware detection is essentially a solved problem for the major players,
Yeah.
and if the built-in free tools on your operating system are nearly indistinguishable in performance from the paid ones, are consumer antivirus companies no longer genuinely selling us software? Are they perhaps just selling us a highly profitable emotional security blanket simply to soothe our lingering digital anxieties?
Man, now that is something to think about the next time you see a massive countdown timer and a flashy discount on a sales page. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.